This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And it is Tuesday night, right after episode 5 of Michelle's season. We got a lot to break down. I actually enjoyed this episode probably more than most this season. Also, don't forget, stick around after our recap. We got Michael Ray. Catch up with him on what he's doing with life. It's been a while since we've had him on.
And so, he also has a top 10 song on radio right now.
So. Yep, big song. So stick around for that. And before we get into the recap, we want to talk a little bit to you guys about Ben's wedding and kind of what we got coming up.
Ben's wedding. Eddie at the CMAs.
And what the hell is on Eric's head?
That's a prize.
I didn't even fucking notice. Eric went all out.
I did not go all out.
No, bullshit, no. Eric. I was there. You were fucking drunk, and I was not. I wasn't sober. I was sober.
You
tackled two people right behind
That's
you.
That's a lie.
No, but you went hard
Nick,
for it. You
I moved hard Nick Vial. I was like, told
Guys,
him.
Eric's
he was
getting married
to
next.
The right of me. Well, I need to find somebody. So if anybody, Blake, play wingman.
He caught the girdle. It's girdle? Is that his?
Garter.
Garter. Jesus, garter.
I'm currently wearing
it. He's wearing it around his head currently.
I've gotten a lot of questions about this. Well, everyone's been asking me. Just kidding. Only people that were there.
Did you wear it on your Instagram?
Not yet. But going back to you calling me out on this, Nick Vial was standing right next to me on my right. And I was like, Nick, you got to get in front of me, bro. You're really up next, not me. I had a drink in one hand, nothing in my left.
Came right for it, baby.
No.
Dude, you jumped in the air and caught it. It's fine. There's nothing wrong.
Like
admit
this.
It.
I went
admit
like this.
It. No, your competition side, competitive side came out. I fucking saw it.
Want to see video of this because
at least
I
put it. She missed
different.
The video. No, dude, I was.
She right recorded people.
But who cares? It's great. Why not? There's not a big deal.
I'll take pride in it. Clearly, I'm wearing it.
I could take pride in it.
I'm gonna wear this everywhere and see if I just get attention for it. Like, yeah,
I caught
ladies,
one recently.
I'm single. I'm next.
It was fun. It was a fun wedding, though. Very fun wedding. So many Bachelor people. So many Bachelor people. I didn't even know were in Bachelor Nation.
Yeah.
From a previous season, there's
people
we were taking
you were
a group,
trying to kick out of a picture.
We were taking a group picture of Bachelor Nation people, and I tapped this guy on the show. I was like, "He's just Bachelor people." He's like, "Bro, I was on the show like 15 years ago." I was like, "Oh my bad." It's like, "I'm an asshole." That's on me. He was like, "Bro, when I was on, it was black and white." I was like, "Oh shit, my bad." So a lot. I want to say probably 25, maybe more Bachelor people.
And a lot of producers that I didn't even know. Like the only one who I knew was Alon, and then. It was Bennett was there. That was surprising.
Bennett, Alon, Nat, and one other one, I think. So four producers. Yeah. So, I mean, all in all, it was a fun reunion. It really wasn't. There was no awkward moments. There was no drama. I shouldn't say awkward. There may be a few awkward moments, but there was no drama at all, which was really cool. Of course, we all love Ben and Jess so much that no way we were going to, like, make the night about, you know, anybody in specific. So it was.
Yeah, because there could have been between, like, you and a couple, Sean Booth and Nick. And everyone got along.
I mean,
like,
it was
all love for Ben and Jess. And
yeah, it's just an understanding in this world, you know, when you're going into it. So and beautiful wedding too, absolutely beautiful wedding. Jess looks stunning. It was a fairy tale. It really was. I felt like it was a fairy tale wedding.
Just the way they did it was just awesome. Like the reception, no seating chart, typical Ben fashion, just wants everyone to mingle and congregate amongst themselves. And
that's how I do my wedding. That's how I want to do my wedding too. It's buffet style, 100%.
Yeah.
Buffet
I mean,
style,
it was a pizza party too. And like the minister in the wedding was like, made a crack at Jess's dad, like no more pizza. And then it was a pizza party at the reception. It was fantastic.
Yeah. It was very well done. The whole weekend in general was really fun. Nashville's an amazing city.
And before we got there, Eddie was there for CMA Awards week.
Yeah. Warming it up, baby.
Always you wound up in Nashville, the Virgin Hotel for us.
Virgin Hotel. Did you notice the V was burnt out on the sign?
Yep.
And
I sure did.
I was like, it's just, I think I did that. I think you did. Like, we cannot call this thing a Virgin Hotel with this whole fucker in here. So, I thought it was funny that I stayed the same hotel you guys did. That's where the CMAs put us up. So,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's nice.
Cool hotel.
Super I haven't nice stayed hotel. There before. It's really nice.
Yeah. It's pretty new. I think they said it opened in March.
Yeah.
I think.
I hadn't been in 2 years, and the Uber driver was like, oh, well, then you've never seen it. And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, holy shit, where did all these high-rise apartments come from? In 2 years, that city has changed so much.
Nashville is a very big little city.
Yeah. It's cool. I love the vibe. It's just...
Oh, it's amazing, yeah.
There's so many different pockets in Nashville.
And it's changing. Like you said, it changes so often.
Yeah, I can't believe the Virgin is right like there on crazy. Music Road. Dude, Sony is right across the street. And if you walk down one block, we were at Starstruck Studios, which is Reba owned. She lost it in the divorce. And it's where Blake records albums and everything. So we were in that studio. But to walk down there, you walk past the RCA studios. Did you see that when you were down the RCA? It's got the old RCA Victor logo on the wall. It's where Elvis recorded in that studio.
That's
pretty
cool.
And it's right there. A block from the Virgin Hotel. And it does kind of suck because all the creep, you know, I mean, the Virgin Hotel is on Music Row. Nothing should be on Music Row except music. But, you know, so a lot of the people who live there are unhappy with it creeping into Music Row. But hey, you know,
it happens.
It's I could tell when I walked into the Virgin Hotel, I went in on a Saturday and every girl that came off the elevator giggling, half drunk with two other girls hoping we're up. I'm like, no, you're a week early. Blake will be here next weekend.
So there's a lot more blue check marks in that hotel for you than there was for us. Well, maybe not. We had a lot. The whole damn wedding party stayed there. We walked down into the lobby and everybody was in suits
the lobby,
and ties.
The rooftop there.
Yeah.
If you are there, go check out that rooftop. If you live in Nashville, they did a great job with the lodge.
Also, thanks for not telling me about Blake 20. I had to pay full price.
Oh, God damn it.
No, you did.
You didn't pay. But I literally had like three people come up to me and was like, I tried to use your code after I'd already bought and they wouldn't let me. I was like, damn it.
next time.
Yeah, no.
But, I actually had some presents, even like that the studios you were at, the estate where Ben got married, Cherokee Dock, was Reba's old estate.
Oh,
that she won
beautiful.
In the divorce and sold it.
Yes,
so pretty on the water.
Oh, that was yeah. That property is amazing.
Yeah, it is. I want to say I've been there at some point back in the 90s, probably. But yeah, Reba didn't half-ass anything. I mean,
I believe that.
Oh, everything was
big
was
hair,
awesome.
Big personality.
Yeah. It was fun though. We got to talk to a lot of people that we've had on the podcast before, and Lainey Wilson was there looking fine. Two of our guests won awards.
Yeah,
Jimmy Allen got best new artist, and who was the other one?
Carly Pierce.
Carly, female vocalist.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge.
How crazy is
that's
that?
That's the female vocalist. And you could see the look on her face when she won. It was like, shut up. I did not just hear that because, I mean, Carly deserved it, but Carly was kind of the dark horse in that.
100%. I think she was definitely, I mean, I was looking at the other names and then also like, I feel like she got this fast. You know what I mean? Like, she hasn't been on the scene super long.
I know.
She's been around, but she's not, I mean, usually people who win that are like 10, 15 years in, you know what I mean? Like being top of the charts. So
yeah,
it was definitely Dark Horse.
So happy for her. It was funny. She came and did the broadcast for the radio stations and she walked in and I just walked over like, hey, Carly. And we were talking for a second and she's like, have we ever met?
Officially.
And I said, no, I've been the guy in the upper right-hand corner of about a half a dozen Zooms you've been on, but no, we've never met. Bring it in. So, yeah, it's what a weird year that you've met a billion people on Zoom and
That's so true.
No physical contact, but it was nice. That was the best thing is that this was the first event with radio and artists where it was just like everybody's vaccinated or you don't get in. Hug if you want to. And it was like, oh my God, this is so nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
So just getting to see everybody.
Yeah, cool. Hopefully we'll be on that radio row at the ACMs here.
I was working it. I told the people who run it about us and about Blake and about the podcast. And I may have pimped Blake out. Like, hey, we'll be there to interview all the artists, but if you have any radio who'd like to talk to Blake, we'll make him make the rounds too.
Hell yeah. Every radio
station will want to talk to him.
Perfect.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Vegas. So definitely hardcore press to make that happen.
Yes.
Glad that went well. That's always fun. I mean, anytime you get a bunch of Nashville's or actually say country stars in Nashville.
And there'll probably be a lot to talk about then with some exciting announcements coming out.
Yeah, hopefully.
So
dun, dun, dun. Yes. But this weekend we got the David Ortiz Foundation Celebrity Golf Tourney. Me and Eric are headed down to that. We're going to play some golf and
raise money for a tremendous foundation.
Yeah. I'm going to raise some money.
I'm actually really excited. I'm excited that this is your first time going down. This is my fifth year being a part of this. Yeah. And you are going to be shell-shocked, like being in a room of probably some of your childhood idols.
Exactly.
And then you're DJing for them. No pressure.
I'm not going to lie. I thought today, I was like, I need to fucking sit down and like...
And really there's been, it hasn't been announced yet, but I'll tease some of it. But like the acts you'll be playing after Saturday night at David's white party, either, you know, Bad Bunny could be there, Ja Rule possibly, Flo Rida or Rick Ross. There's going to be a couple of those four.
It's crazy, dude. It's crazy.
And then you're going to be shutting down after them.
Like, yeah.
Tough fucking acts to follow. No pressure.
Seriously, though.
I don't even know
the crowd will be lit. The crowd will be lit.
I don't even know if you knew the last two names, but
no,
they just got thrown in the ring.
it'll be fun. It'll be fun. The crowd's gonna be ready to go. And I'm looking forward to golfing. Looking forward to golfing in December or damn near. I'm looking forward to the whole weekend. It's gonna be a blast.
Oh, and just being on the beach, water, seeing the sun, 80-degree weather.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for some fun content, probably on our socials with Jason and you reunited on Friday, because I'm sure we'll get drunk and have some cigars.
Yep, Jay's there. I think. Did any of the other Bachelor guys? Or
I mean, Ben would normally be there,
right?
But obviously, he's on his honeymoon. I've had Ben there the last few years, and he's been great.
Yeah.
No,
I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm gonna be super embarrassed if nobody bids on me. So, because that's how it works.
They bid for their draft pick, and then they draft like a lottery, like NBA draft style.
Gotcha. I just don't want to be picked last.
The funniest thing ever was 1 year Ben Higgins, his first year there at the Dominican Republic, bunch of like just all star Hall of Famers. Ben Higgins gets picked with the first fucking pick. And Ray Allen, Warren Sapp, Poppy Pedro Martinez, greatest in the game.
Who the fuck's these guys?
Are like, who? Like, and we're in the back at the tables. Like, we're like table 68.
I love that.
And Ben walks up there and he was like, did they just pick me first? I was like, Ben, get up.
Ben's a good golfer too, though.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's a good golfer.
But like, it was all a women's group of like Delta, I think, executives. And it was the funniest shit I'd ever seen.
Yeah, no, I mean, I hope as long as I don't get picked last, I don't need to be picked
and now
first.
David loves to have the Bachelor people there because okay, women. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So
let's get the women involved here.
No, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. Rowdy's doing a lot of activation there and stuff. We love us some Rowdy. So it's going to be a good weekend. It's going to be a good weekend. So
we'll be right back.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, let's get into the let's get into this episode. I think this is one of the better episodes, man, of the season. I think we got a well-rounded episode.
Would you consider this hometowns?
So that's what I wanted to start with, is the fact that we're going to Minneapolis, but not only that, but we're getting to, or at least Michelle gets to see her family. That's a huge deal. Like, I know she didn't get to really introduce guys to her or anything, but just to have that sense of like security and comfort and be able to talk to your family about the, you know, the journey thus far, it might not seem like a big deal, but it is a huge deal when you're the lead. For Michelle, that's a huge deal. It's like a sense of normalcy after going through this, you know, shit show of a journey so far. So to me, that was a big deal and pretty cool. The producers let her do that because they could. I think Colton, during his season, went to Denver but didn't get to see his family. Yeah, they have like a Red Rocks day. I think Kalen went on the Red Rocks.
Well, and him and Ben had a little meeting at Oshkaro one day.
And then, but I don't think he got to see his family. So I thought this was pretty cool that they let Michelle see her family and everything. So, so yeah, and that's kind of where the episode started off, was her just chatting with her fam, talking about the guys, how there's a few guys she's really excited about. And it's one of the best group of guys she's ever met, you know, all that kind of good stuff. Which, like I said, is a big deal. It's pretty cool. So, from there, I like the way this episode, I like that we're doing two one-on-ones and a group date. I like that. I think you get more, instead of doing one one-on-one and two group dates, like at this point of the experience, you want to figure out who you're into and who you're not. So one-on-one dates truly change everything when you have a, you know, in the relationships that you're in. So Joe gets the first one-on-one.
Man, what an advantage.
Huge. Dude, huge advantage. I think this changed everything for me for within their relationship, man. First of all, he's from Minnesota, obviously. So not only is he from Minnesota, she's obviously
from
Minnesota.
How awesome is that to explore the city you both together, are from together?
It's her first date in Minnesota. Also a big deal. They go to the most Minnesota thing ever, Minnesota Twins game. She throws out the pitch. They're kissing in front of thousands of people. Honestly, like the day portion of that date was just phenomenal. And I liked, so I haven't, obviously I've known her and Joe are into each other. She is very attracted to Joe, but I haven't gotten a sense of who Joe is. He's very reserved. Mm-hmm. He's been very reserved the whole season. He's been very kind of quiet. Even when he's with her, I haven't seen him really open up too much. But I feel like that changed on this date. Definitely changed on this date. I could say what are you gonna say? I could tell.
Oh no, I was just like, and yeah, they go from the Twins game to her high school.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, they're at her locker, and like their whole relationship does feel very high schoolish.
Yeah,
because it's like he's that star athlete, she's the star athlete, and it's like that high school love story where, or like high school crush kind of thing.
She even said it at one point, right?
She did say that to me.
Yeah, he'd be my high school crush.
Yeah, it's very cute and kind of innocent almost.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of, what's that movie? Love and Basketball? Is that what it's called? Or Basketball? No, Love and Basketball, I think. With Omar?
Yeah, that's an old school movie.
Oh, old school. Yeah, it's a great movie. That's, but that's like what
before
this
your time. That's kind of surprising.
Their relationship. I'm not that much younger than you. We always do this. I mean, I was in like probably middle school, high school. But you're right. Like that's what this relationship reminds you of. It's very... Yeah, it's very like cliche almost. Like you said, like star athlete, you know, she was, he was. Yeah. Prom king, prom queen, they would have been. You
Mr.
know, like
high
that's
school
just how
basketball,
I feel it.
Yeah, Mrs. High school basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
It's unbelievably cute.
Yeah, it is. It is very cute and very Hollywood, if you will. Which I think we've known that. But then later, the night portion of the state, you know, he kind of opens up. And like I saw, listen. He talked about, you know, he at basketball, what did he say? Game or ball. Yes. What did he say? Like ball was life.
Oh, he
ball
said
was
ball
life.
Was life. Yeah. And then life was gone.
Yeah.
And I can relate to this because I got injured in high school.
I mean, I feel like
all my
athletes,
scholarships.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you do put so much into that. And then depending on where you come from, some situations you do feel like that is your only
identity.
Way out of where you come from or identity. And you could tell like, that was his path in life, man. Like that's what he wanted to pursue. And in basketball, there's so many opportunities. Like, yeah, you, depending on where you go to college, you're probably not going to make it to the pros, the NBA, yeah. But there's so much overseas hoops, and mm-hmm. you get paid so well overseas. That could have, you know, that could have mm-hmm. been his NBA.
And he was clearly pretty damn good. You know, he's clearly pretty damn good.
And unbelievably passionate about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know if you guys are listening to this or you watch the show, you're not an athlete. You never were passionate about any of that. That might come off as the dumbest fucking story ever, which I get. Yeah. I get. Oh, I'm sorry. You're an incredible athlete who suddenly got everything he wanted in life and then suddenly ripped got away. Hurt and then all was gone.
Like, and you get it ripped away from a circumstance that's out of your control, really, mm-hmm. at the end of the day.
So I know a lot of people probably were like, okay, bro, like that's the hardest thing you've had in life is a fucking knee injury. But yeah.
And you could tell
it's a big deal.
She understood that being an athlete herself, which was the most important thing, because she could see that in him. Like that was his vulnerable mm-hmm. moment right there.
For me, that's probably the most emotional she's gotten. Because I think she could relate so well. And Joe got emotional. Like those weren't tears running down your face. Those were like, he was like crying.
That was his first love was basketball.
Yeah. 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 So it is a big deal for him. Like you said, his whole identity was basketball. Like life was, you know, ball, like ball was life. And so to have that ripped away from you, I get it for some can't relate, but for others, for other athletes and just for people in general who have lost something in their life that they're passionate about and suddenly you can't do it. It hit home. It hit close to home to a lot of people. And I thought he was very vulnerable in it, because I'm sure in the back of his head, he's kind of like, I know this sounds dumb, but like ball was life. You know, like that's cliche as fuck, but like that's what it was.
Or he felt safe with her.
Maybe, yeah.
Because she can understand that.
Yeah. But I thought she handled that fantastically. I thought he was very open about it. And it brought them closer. It did. I think that. Oh, and they, you know, at one point they also talked about why he was reserved. He talked about his mm-hmm. father and how his father's even more reserved than he was and shy. Because I think that is important, because I'm like, is he even into her at times? I'm like, you know, like he's so quiet.
Yeah.
So I think all in all, the date was phenomenal and he jumped up to maybe number one.
That's what I was about to say. I was like, he might have pulled ahead just a little bit here.
Mm-hmm. You pulled ahead a little bit during this date. He obviously gets the one-on-one rose.
Minnesota Joe.
Yeah, and she kept calling that Minnesota Joe. Yeah. Like, is there another Joe in the scene?
Well, grocery store Joe, I think Joe. Maybe a spinoff of.
I guess, yeah. But phenomenal date. He jumped to number one for me. It was top to bottom a really good date. They related really well. They had a lot of fun. Yeah,
I don't think he jumped to my number one yet, but
I think at this point he did before Nate's one-on-one.
Oh yeah.
Like at 100%. This point he did. Yeah. So then we go on to the group date. And kind of it all started the group date, you know, they read the group date names and Nate's name is omitted. So obviously he's going on the one-on-one. That did not rub Chris S the right way. He was not happy that Nate gets the one-on-one and he's going on this group date. So that's kind of what started his fire, if you will, I guess, you know, burning inside evening, of him.
He was or just angry, the week.
Man. Yeah. Just fucking pissed. So we go into this group date. We go to the Minnesota Vikings football stadium. And everybody's thinking it's going to be the NFL, you know, football date with the Vikings, the Minnesota Vikings coming out, but it's like actors dressed in Viking.
Well, it's their mascots. They blow the horns and bang at the top of the stadium. But my favorite thing going into this was Clayton. He was probably just like, I got this.
Yeah.
Let's go. Football date. But his face was like, what are we doing?
Yeah. And then these fucking Vikings come running out and they're doing, I don't know how you'd explain it. Viking auditions. They're like seeing who the biggest Viking is or something, right? I guess that's kind of what the
Viking cries. Yeah.
Yeah. They were doing like Viking screams. They were doing
ready for the fight,
throwing stumps of wood or logs, I should say. Just, you know, manly Viking things.
Yeah.
And Clayton still dominated. Clayton still,
even though Chris S threw the log.
Chris S did a good job. Yeah, he did throw the log for this, which is pretty funny. He's the smallest guy there by far. I think the biggest thing that we came away with during the group date or the day portion, everybody was kissing on Michelle, mm-hmm. was loving on Michelle because they didn't want to make the same mistakes they did the week before when nobody was paying attention to her.
She was
they were on top of their set. They were like all over her. Which was pretty funny and good to see because it gave her, I think she's feeling a little bit better.
She was looking for that.
That's what she wanted. Yeah, that's what she wanted. And it was just a fun day portion. Like, I like dates like these. They're not taking themselves seriously. They're all dressing up. They dressed Chris S up as like a That was my favorite part, dude.
When, did you see him when they were running out of the tunnel and he's like 30 yards behind them?
Yeah. They just went as a horse's ass. Yeah, literally, donkey, yeah. Yeah. So it was really funny, you know, and they all dressed him up in these dumb. So just a funny, you know, harmless date. Good times. Chris S, though, he kept having to pipe in during his ITMs and moments where basically saying, you know, she's not paying attention to me. And like, she needs to, you know, we haven't talked yet today. She didn't even look my way, things like that. Which is ridiculous. You're not the bachelor, bro. Like, she's the bachelorette, you know, like, get that through your head.
Well, and apparently if you win the ultimate bachelor, or the ultimate Viking, you become the bachelor. So
yeah, because Clayton wins the ultimate Viking. he walks away with that prize, during the day, which good for him. I mean, he literally is the epitome of a Viking.
Could you imagine if he didn't win that date though?
What?
Could you imagine if he didn't win that date?
Yeah, exactly. That'd be embarrassing. Yeah. Like he's a Viking.
Let's hear your Viking cry. Can you give us a Viking cry?
I'm a little sick right now. I'm under the weather, so I'm not going to do that. Listen, I don't have a voice to begin with. If I tried to scream as loud as I can, come to one of my shows, you're going to hear my fucking Viking yell.
Yeah, the voice will crack a bit.
Yeah. But I don't know why I thought of this, but I don't know if you've seen the new movie Red Notice yet on Netflix. Have you mm-mm. seen that with? It's fucking, you gotta watch it, guys. Everyone, it's hilarious. It's Ryan Reynolds, The Rock, and Gal Gadot. But there's a moment where Ryan Reynolds is like, they're lifting logs together, and Ryan Reynolds says, okay, here we go. 1, 2, lift with your neck, because that's what I think of with Clayton. That Clayton's so large, his neck is so big. It's like, lift with your neck. But Clayton is just a giant human being, dude. Top to bottom, like shoulders broad. Like, he better win the fucking ultimate Viking. And he did. We go into the night portion, and there are a couple good combos, I think.
Well, we start with Clayton, and it's like, all right, we see a little bit more here of him. But I think that conversation shows that he has a bit of depth to him.
Yeah.
Because his conversation is actually really good.
It was good.
We haven't
good.
Seen it yet. And we see a little bit of maybe a potential romantic spark.
That's what I was going to say. I think for the first time. But it's still such a small spark. But I do agree now. I think even Michelle felt it a little bit. She was like, oh, okay. And he even said, he's like, I felt like I needed to step up during this date, you know, which he did. He definitely did in the night portion. That was literally, I think, the first conversation we've really seen between the two. And it was good. Still need more. And I do think I think he gets like a one-on-one this coming week. So I think we're going to see more because at this point, yeah, still not enough for me to be like, yeah, bachelor material. But yeah. It was a good convo. Showed a spark between them. Showed at least he has more depth than just Viking screams. So that was good. Yeah. Viking screams and winning anything physical competition-wise. Yeah, so it was a step in the right direction. Step in the right direction.
And I got to give my man Brandon again. Day one-er. He came through again during this night portion.
He did.
She is into him.
She is, man. I think if she was a little bit more physically attracted to him, I just think it's different with Joe and with Nate, the way she's physically attracted to those men. Mm-hmm. If she was that attracted, if Brandon, I think, is hitting her intellectually and like emotionally on a level that not many of the other guys are. So yeah, I mean, Brandon does kill it, man. He's been your dark horse since day one, and he's been doing well. And Rodney, he's kind of, I guess, my dark horse. He had another good
Rodney top four.
Yeah, I don't have
Brandon five.
Yeah, I don't have him top four, but yeah, man. I mean, he had another solid night, solid conversations. You can tell Michelle's really feeling a few of these guys, and I think it's going to get really hard for her.
Oh yeah, and I mean, I know I'm skipping ahead here just a bit. I don't want to go chronologically, but like when she was giving out the roses, she led with Brandon. I was like, oh my god, is he going to get a third group date rose?
That would have been wild.
I was like, damn.
Yeah.
But this is right where Chris starts really spiraling, like you had just mentioned and started talking about, touching on.
Yeah, he just wanted Michelle to come in. I think there was this one line he had that was like, you know, I really put myself out there. I let her know how I was feeling, and then she doesn't come and check on me today. And I was like, what?
Yeah,
she needs to check on you?
Yeah.
Like, what? That made zero sense. And this reminds me a little bit of Chris Randone on my season. He did this exact same thing on my season in Vegas on that date, and it didn't work out for him. He even went and interrupted as well a date, and it didn't work out for him as well. I think when you're in that environment, I've said this 1,000 times, it's just intense, and I think he got in his head a little bit, and I think he was so pissed off that Nate got that one-on-one that he just decided, I think he kind of knew, this is my prediction, or not my prediction, but I guess my theory, he knew
that they don't have a great connection. And so I think he started to get very insecure and started to be like, well, she needs to, you know, vie for my time. Like, I think he went that whole other route of like, I'm not going to sit here and put all my time in this. I think in the back of his head, he knows it's not going to work, or, you know, he knows he's not going to get a rose. So he started to play, you know, I don't know, like almost like badass. He was like, yeah, she needs to vie for my time. And it backfired immensely.
It's super weird that the guy who called out the guys for not showing Michelle attention showed her absolutely none.
And the guys called him out for this. I don't know. I can't remember which guy did. I think it was Swolo Olo. Called him out for that. It was like, you were literally saying how much last week you were paying attention to guys not paying attention to her.
It was either him or Casey.
Yeah, one or the other. Maybe it was Casey, right?
Him, him or Casey, sorry. Not her.
And then he didn't do that. And then Michelle ends the night being like, you know, handing out the group date rose. And he's the only one that didn't get to talk to her. That really pissed him off, you know? Yeah. He's like licking his lips or whatever, chopping his lips, you know, in like silence. Like, you can tell he's pissed off at her. But again, like, what did you expect? You got to go. You got to put in the time. You're not the bachelor. You're not the bachelor, man.
This is where we need Bennett back to give him an emotional intelligence book.
Yeah, no kidding. I saw a meme like that actually on Twitter. But yeah, so Clayton walks away with the group day rose. Good on him. The first rose he's gotten ahead of time, obviously.
Yeah.
He hasn't got a group day rose or a one-on-one. So good on him. Hopefully, I think he's getting a one-on-one next week. So we'll see some more from him. But we go into Nate's one-on-one. So let's talk about Nate's one-on-one.
This is where it's like, for me, it's over for everybody.
Yeah, I agree. It's one and two. It's him and Joe. In my opinion.
You get the approval of your friends. Game over, boys.
Like, and that's a big deal that she chose. And I do believe this week she had a lot to say in who she picked for a rose or for a date. Because you don't pick Minnesota Joe on a date, you know, not on in Minnesota. So huge on that. And then I think to meet her friends, for sure, I think she picked Nate. You know, the producers didn't really have much to say in this. And her friends even said, like, going into this, they were like, we didn't want to like you. You know what I mean? We wanted to play hard to get. We wanted to play tough. But damn, and I agree, even on screen, Nate comes off incredibly charming. He comes off, he's got a big smile on him. He's very smiley, very easy, it seems like, to get along with, even when he's been pushed in the corner, when, you know, Chris kind of put him in a corner, and like when he's been called out, quote unquote, he's handled everything, you know, very well, with a lot of poise. And so I do believe that, yes. And I do believe if you put him in a room with friends, I think he's leaving there. Even if you put him in a room with strangers, he's leaving his friends. Like, I think he is that kind of guy. And it showed on this date today, for sure.
And he can get serious when he needs to. Like, he's delivered pretty much like just five tool star right now. Like, he's done everything right.
Exactly. And I think almost, though, that can be a blessing and a curse. I think one of the biggest things, you know, on my season, Becca has said 1,000 times over, is that we didn't have any bumps in the road. The only difference is, I guess Nate did have a little bump in the road last week, though, right? What? With Chris S. calling him out. I mean, I wouldn't call it a fucking big bump, but it was a bit of a speed bump, I guess. It wasn't no hill or mountain or anything. But I just think that maybe that might come down to her being like, you're almost too perfect. Like, I think that might be a conversation they have down the road, is like, you're almost too perfect.
Yeah.
Because, you're right. Everything's been going very smooth. I think he's definitely checked all the boxes for her. And now her friends love him. So that's huge. And Michelle seems like a very much a, my friends back home, my family mean everything. You know what I mean? She's not, she doesn't seem like a thirsty clout chaser. So in that sense, I think
not at all.
This is a big date for her. So good on Nate. Sorry. Good on Nate. We go to the night portion. This is where it gets interesting. And this is why this episode was good. We had legitimate connections, good conversations. The group date was fun. And then we get the villain moment, the drama. And that is, I don't know what he was thinking, dude. Chris S. decides to break up Nate and Michelle's one-on-one date.
Did you see their faces, by the way? Like, dude, when Nate's, he walked up, they're just like,
amazing, dude.
So is Michelle's.
Michelle's meme
where they screenshotted it. And her face was just as good as Nate's.
Like, dude, Nate was just like, his face, what the fuck? Like, oh, dude, me, it bro? Was great. Are you kidding me, bro? Oh, dude, it was so good. But again, handled it well. He didn't freak out. He didn't like, no, Michelle. He just started laughing.
Like, you got to be kidding me, bro.
He's laughing because I do think he's super confident, which is fine. Be confident in your relationship. You know, I'd have no problem with that. That was just fucking amazing, man. He just, the look on his face. And then the way Michelle
Dude, Michelle is just impressive, man. Mm-hmm. She is, like, I know there's been a lot, and I've said this season is a bit boring. Sometimes I think a messy lead leads to a messy season, and people love that. But fuck, man, you got to respect and appreciate Michelle as a lead, because she put this man in her place, in his place, but in such a, like, charming way, like in such a way that I was like even Chris was like, damn. Like, you could see his shoulders and demeanor.
He couldn't say anything. Like, well, he couldn't say anything to anything anyway for the last two episodes, really. But
I think, and you could, like, I pay attention to things like music and everything. And this was definitely, I think it was not as intense of maybe a moment we've seen in the past, but this was definitely her, like, Hannah B moving the rose ceremony stall moment. Like, I think this was her moment of being like, I'm a grown ass woman. I don't need a man to tell me what to do, to put words in my mouth. I deserve a man who stands next to me, not in front of me, you know?
Yeah.
And that was this moment for her.
She wanted her words were stand and support her, not speak for her.
Yes, exactly.
And that's super power,
like, what she says. Yeah. And she's her, like, teacher demeanor came in. Like, she says it in such a way that it was like a lesson. She's not yelling at him. She's like, it was like a lesson he needed to learn, you know?
Well, it was like his delivery. Like, what did he say? He was like, played.
Yeah.
What?
He came in very offensive. I feel like he came in very offensive. But, like, and
who played you, bro?
I don't even know.
You played yourself, son.
Terrible, like, idea. And
you played yourself right out of the show is what you did.
Yeah, exactly. My biggest thing, what did he expect to happen?
Yeah.
Like, did he think he was going to get the road? Like, what did he expect was going to happen? Of course he's going home, you know? Of course she sends his ass home. She sends him home. She walks back to Nate. I thought Nate did a good job. He was like, I thought the best part was Nate didn't ask what they talked about. Nate was like, I don't care.
He didn't meddle at all. He's like, he's gone. He gone.
Yeah. He was like, he's gone.
He didn't even crack a smile or seem happy about it, which is, like, super classy. Like,
He was like, I'm sure this is hard for you. Yeah. Again, both of those two impressed me very much. Good people. And I can't wait to see where their relationship goes.
But it's like, who are the producers going to pull as a villain now? Obviously it's gotta be Martin, cause they kept him around one more week. Right.
Yeah, you're right. They did keep Martin. Let's get into that. Let's get into Martin, man. We'll go back to some other combos.
Put his foot in his fucking mouth during that one.
I feel like he's done this multiple times too. It's like, it really only takes one conversation or one very weird thing you do say that can completely throw off the
she's just
trajectory. Because she has other amazing men. So it's like, he's already said one weird thing when it came to name? At that hot tub date. I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Was on his side, or he was kind of on his side.
He was like, he's a good guy. Jamie.
Yeah.
Is it Jamie?
Jamie. Yeah. She was already kind of like, I feel like, red flag a little bit with him.
Yeah. He was questioning her character then.
Yeah. And then this conversation didn't even need to happen. Like, the one with Jamie, I feel like she kind of asked about it. This literally, I felt like, came out of nowhere. He was just kind of like, you know, I've dated high maintenance women in the past or something. And it was just a weird conversation, man. And she was like, well, what is high maintenance to you? And he was like, you know, women who think they should have anything handed to them.
And it was all stereotype to Miami women.
Well, possibly, maybe. Yeah, that's true. And then she asked the great question of, like, well, what about men? And he was like, well, men, you know, usually don't expect that in a relationship. And she just giggled. She literally was just scoffed at him. She was like, I was like, uh-oh, you know?
That head went back and the eyes went up.
Oh, dude. Like, he just kept digging himself a bigger hole. And she was like, then he went into ITM afterwards and was like, you know, I don't think it was necessarily that I didn't say anything right. I just think she didn't understand it right. And I was like, what the fuck? Now you're blaming her for the words you said? Like, what? Yeah, you're right. He might be the villain next, dude. He might be the villain next.
Producer, got to fill the role, because she just keeps kicking all the villains out away.
He might be the next villain. Because that was just a weird convo, man. You could tell she was not up for it. She was not. And then he tried to go back to the guys and kind of explain what he said. I don't know. And the guys were kind of annoyed. They're like, he acts one way with Michelle, one way with us. You're right. It's going to be interesting next week, because I think he's the villain for sure. So we'll see. What other conversations happened? That Rodney had another great conversation. I feel like Clayton.
Yeah. They had the little rooftop deal.
Yeah, the rooftop deal. Nate.
Rick. Is it Rick? I don't know why. Rick.
Yeah, he did have a cool moment where they were walking.
A little stroll.
And they're having
piano guy.
Literally, that was a random piano guy, because they blurred his face. Yeah. So that wasn't staged, which is pretty cool. I love genuine things like that on the show.
Nice,
so
smooth little yeah. dancing.
Yeah. So I still like Rick a lot.
Same.
I think he took a backseat a little bit to some of the guys this week, but I still like him. I still see him maybe sneaking in the top four. Yeah. So, I mean, we go into the rose ceremony. And of course, the last rose is Rodney, actually, right? Rodney was the last rose.
I don't remember who the last rose was.
It was Rodney, which is shocking to me. But we had three guys go home.
Two
guys. Yeah. Go home. So we're down
Casey
to nine.
Casey and Leroy. And then Chris.
Oh, that's right. You're right. My bad.
Chris was
you're
third,
right.
I guess,
so
yeah.
we have eight guys left. So none of those
miss Casey. I like Casy.
I do like him as man. I don't like him from Michelle, though. Yeah, they're good dudes and everything. They seem great, but I don't think they have any connection with Michelle.
Yeah.
So not shocked they went home. But you're right. I do like the guy. I like Casey actually quite a bit. Yeah.
I mean, she has a good group of core.
Yes. She has a solid.
Right,
I think
now
the final six are going to be pretty solid. Yeah. I think they're going to be pretty solid. So, So we just got eight guys left going into next week. Watch preview a little bit. Didn't really get a ton from the preview. It looks like there's obviously some drama when it comes, like, now I think we get into like who's there for the right reasons, I guess, again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looks like Clayton calls someone out, like, you're
someone
only
out
TV, bro.
I don't think it's Nate.
I don't think it's Nate.
I don't think it's Nate. I think the way they ended it, I think it's honestly probably maybe Martin or somebody. Because I can't think of who else it would be. Yeah. So we'll see, I guess. But yeah, all in all, actually, this is one of my better. I thought this was a solid episode, well-rounded episode. I give it like an 8 out of 10. Honestly, it's a good episode. I enjoyed it. So hopefully the ratings show that, because I hate seeing Michelle. Like we talked about, Michelle is a really good lead, but the show is just not performing like it normally does, you know, for whatever reason. But I like
Michelle.
She's
been as real and as genuine as you could ever ask for from a lead.
I like Michelle a lot. So we'll see. All right. Coming up next, you guys, stick around. We got Michael Ray, conversation with Michael Ray. We're going to catch up with him on Whiskey Rain, his new song that's in just broke the top 10, and just catch up on what he's got coming up.
Yeah, whiskey and rain coming down, splash of bourbon in a glass. See the bottle runs out, all the clouds roll away. It's just whiskey and rain.
Michael, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been a while. We were saying is this your third time on here? Second time on here. First one was way back.
It was one of the first three.
Yeah.
I think it was like right in the middle of the pandemic, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah. That's exactly what
we
it was.
We had no idea what we were doing. Still don't.
I was just saying, we still really don't, but doing our best. A lot's happened since then. Congrats on all the success. Your new...
Whiskey in the Rain.
Yeah.
Top 10.
Woo. Thanks, man. Yeah, dude. Woo. It's a, I was just talking to.
About damn time that got up there. Shit.
It's crazy, man. The charts are weird now, man. It's just, everything's taken a long time. It used to be faster for, you know, some artists and whatever. And you always had that kind of group that it was faster for. But even some of those artists in that group, it's taken them a little longer than normal. So, man, you just got to hold on tight to it. It was weird because when we released Whiskey and Rain, it was in the middle of the pandemic. So like, there was no touring. There was you're doing no promotion, no radio shows, none of that. So you're like, man, I hope this thing starts climbing and starts climbing and that those damn 30s kick in, man. If it gets in the 30s, it's such a, you celebrate it, but you know, you're just going to be stressed for like ever. Cause it's like going through like muck. So you don't even watch it during the 30s. And then it started to work, and then it just started jumping through the 20s, and now to be top 10 pretty quick. It's been cool to see it grow.
Yeah, because I do remember us talking about that song, and I feel like you knew, like, it's such a good song. And I remember when we were talking, you're like, it's going to get there. It's just going to take time. And you're right. I think the pandemic had a lot to do with it. I mean, when you're not able to play some of those songs in front of live audiences like that, I think definitely impacts those songs, right?
Yeah. It was just, you know, a weird time all around. So, but it's been, we believe in that song from day one, since Jesse Fraser played it for Buffy, my manager, before I even heard it. You know, everybody was like, man, I really think we got it with this one. It came out exactly how we were hoping. So we, you know, sometimes you just got to believe it and believe in the product, believe in the song and hope that, you know, radio and the fans, you know, join on with it at some point through the journey of it.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that song, man. Like what to you does that song embody?
Man, I wanted this record to be something that was really a mixture of current, but those 90s, 80s, 70s artists that I grew up listening to. And when I first heard it, it had that signature guitar lick that I love from back in the day, you know, and it felt like something that little Ronnie Millsap, little bit of a Bakersfield, California vibe thrown in there. And it just felt exactly what, I feel like it embodied exactly what this whole record is. And it was a good first look for fans into what this record was going to be. And it just had a little bit of everything that I was looking for.
All right, so awesome. I was going to say, and I feel like when you were preparing for this, when was the last time before this, your album before this album? I'm trying to remember.
Dude, when exactly it was like that 2017, was. I think.
Yeah, right. It had been a minute, right?
Was
yeah.
that the Amos?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, because like I said, you know, songs just take a while and then you're making records and you're touring. And then it's wild how fast 3 years go by, man. You know, I didn't think it was that much. A fan tweeted it the day it was like 3 years. Whenever. Wow. And I was like, damn, I didn't even realize it was that long.
Yeah. Well, when you're staying busy and like you said, you're touring and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Time flies. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. Y'all know how it is, man. You wake up. It's like, where are we at? What town?
Dude, I've been feeling that a little bit and I'm at a fraction of like how much you travel.
We've
done
that,
man.
For like the last 2 months have been crazy. You've been.
Yeah. And I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted.
I mean, you just played Tortuga and you're spry and full of life. You must have be drinking Rowdy right now. And we're fucking totally spent.
Yeah. Up to 3 days in Nashville, which is like where you live. I was just having fun. No, how was Tortuga, man? Was Tortuga a good time? And for everybody, that's down in, where's that?
Fort Lauderdale. Yeah. Man, it was awesome, man. Tim McGraw was headlining the whole deal. Pitbull, John Party, Jimmy Allen, John Langston, Lindsay L, myself.
That's a hell of a Sunday.
Solid lineup.
I'm missing a few others. I know I'm missing a few people, but man, it was a blast. It was beautiful weather down there. It's such a great festival, dude. Like you truly are on the beach. Like the water's right there. The beach is. The stage is right there. They spend weeks like making this little roadway throughout, you know, right there on the beach. So it's a one of a kind festival. And for artists and y'all been there, right? You've been there.
So yeah, I have not. I have not.
Dude, the backstage area is like, it's BOC. It's Brian O'Connell.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He does a good job.
With a guy
BOC named, hates to party.
Yeah. the backstage area is set up right. Him and Chris Stacey and their whole team. They just crush it, man. So it's one of your, comes one of your favorite festivals to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean,
do you guys have the massage tents and everything?
Just yeah, man.
Everything.
Yeah, they treat you.
Yeah.
Haircut. Right next to the bar. Yeah, haircut. Everything.
Yeah. The barber. I remember that when everybody was talking about Tortuga, they were like, it's Stagecoach on the beach. Like, that's basically what it
that's
is.
Actually like, great, yeah, that's actually a great comparison. Like, oh. It really is. Yeah. Yeah. There's just like, I don't know. It's just cool, man. It's like I said, you're right there. Everybody's coming down. I think this year was something even more special because last year I had to get moved. All those people that were, you know, might've been their first time back at a concert or whatever. I'm sure it was a big day for them or big weekend for them. So it's just a cool energy all weekend. They said, and our day last night was closing it down. So it was no different.
That's great. Yeah. The Sundays are always fun. So what does it feel like? Again, you've been out there now for a while. You've been touring now for how when was like your first, you know, show back? When was that?
I think I played my first shows back in my hometown beginning of March.
Okay. So you've been out there a few months.
And then, I think that might've been my only show that month. And then April, we had a couple. And in May, we had a few more. And then it went from like 0 to 100 real quick.
I know that is. So how did it feel back out there energy wise with the crowd, with the audience, the fans? What did that feel like, man?
Man, it was great. You know, I think on both sides of the stage you felt the need for live shows. So on our side,
I guess, sides of the stage. I like,
you know,
that. Yeah.
It's a much needed therapy for a lot of people, including all of us and all the fans. And you can't have one without the other, you know? So it's this kind of cool tornado energy that happens at a live show and hopefully takes everybody's mind off of what's been going on. And you can just tell that it's been missing for a lot of people. And you know, there's still a lot of people that are worried to come out, or some people just don't want to deal with the, you know, mask stuff or mandates or whatever's going on. But you know, for the people that are coming out, and the festivals, man, the festivals, dude, are like next level. Yeah. You know, we played, yeah. I think our first festival was Carolina Country Music Fest, and it was like 45,000 people. I mean, it was just insanity, you know, but whether it be 45,000 or whatever, it's, you could tell everybody's just been in it and been ready to be back in it. And so it's it was those moments, man, when we came back, me and the band were like, these are the things that you don't take for granted, but you might rush through. You know how it is, man, when you're tired or you're just not feeling it too much. Now it's like, oh no, we do some cool shit. You know, like, yeah. we got a cool job. We need to take this in a little better than we had, because you never think it's going to be gone. You know, you never think it's going to be something that can just be taken away so quick.
Yeah, that's
and
so
that it was.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. It was taken away fast, like overnight, almost. All of a sudden, everything started getting canceled. So I definitely think a lot of
people
didn't
come back quickly.
Oh, I know. I said it last night at Tortuga. I was like, "That was the longest. This has been the longest 14 days of my life."
Yeah. 14 day quarantine lasted about a year and a half.
Yeah, lasted 14 fucking months. Yeah.
No shit.
Dude, I remember we were watching. We were in Connecticut, and it was like we were in New York the day before, and then Connecticut. And with it between New York and then to the venue we were playing, it was like life changed. It was the weirdest thing. Nobody knew what to do. Like, they didn't know if they were going to keep the show, send us home. Now I'm looking at flights maybe, and I'm trying to like talk to my band. I'm like, well, do we really want to be around a bunch of strangers if this thing's this bad? You know, like, at least in our bus, we know it's just us.
Yeah.
You know, it might take us a long to get home, but it was, man, it did. It happened quick. It went from everything was fine and cool to, not playing or doing anything for
end of the world. Like, and then it was scary too, because you're right. Like, at first it was, oh shit, like maybe this is as serious as everybody's saying. Like, maybe we shouldn't be out. Maybe we shouldn't be doing shows. But yeah, I definitely think a lot of people have a little bit more grateful for what they have and what you're able to do and everything. So, what do you got coming up, man? You got anything big coming up here? I know we're kind of going into the holiday and everything.
Yeah,
are you doing your like solo? Like headlining tour now?
We're doing, so Tortuga was my last full band show, and then we're doing a bunch of end of the year acoustic, some like radio events and stuff, and then I'm doing a Christmas special with Fort Bragg that'll air sometime at the end of the year. So we filmed that at the beginning of December, and then just going in the next year, writing a lot for the next side of this EP and moving on to, I believe, Holy Water is going to be our next single, so getting everything prepared and set up for that.
Awesome. I'll say that was my next question there is like, so do you have an idea of when that's going to drop, or is it just kind of like in the lab right now working on it still?
Yeah. We don't know when it's going to drop yet. We haven't started any of like the promotion side of things or video shoots or any of that. So it'll be a little bit before we have an actual set date on it, but we're still, we're still riding whiskey and rain. So
yeah,
ride the train till hopefully number one, and then we'll move on.
I was just going to say, everybody go listen to it. Help it get to number one, baby. that'd be nice.
Okay, right? Eddie, start playing that a little bit more.
It better be on right now, Eddie.
It's on a loop. It's all we play. All we play. Actually, we play that and Fancy Like back to back, over and over, all the time.
From 4 to 5, it is on a loop.
That's great. Are you coming back to Denver anytime soon, man? Is there anything on the Grizzly Rose or any of those on the calendar?
Yeah, I'm coming back for the benefit.
Oh, okay. December,
are you doing the St. Jude?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't think they've announced that yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything about that.
Oh, yeah. I thought I did an interview for it not long ago.
Oh, really?
I'm doing December 7th.
Awesome.
I won't be here. Eric will be there.
I won't be there.
Oh, you won't either, will you? I'll
weekend? Be there.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's like a Monday.
That's like a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll come out, man. It'll be fun. I don't know who else is on it with us.
Yeah, that's always a good show. That's always a fun show. That St. Jude Benefit is always a good show.
I've played it before, but I love playing Grizzly Rose.
Yeah, absolutely. No. Nice, man. Cool, cool. Everybody.
I hope you say that. You like playing Grizzly Rose. Shit.
Yeah. Grizzly Rose is overrated.
We're just completely shitting on it.
Worst fucking hockey talk in
the US. Oh, man. That's
sorry,
good.
Scott.
I ain't never going to get one of them belt buckles again, man. Damn it.
He's taking it away. He's gonna
don't
take
say
it away.
That. Shit.
Yeah.
No, for sure, dude. With Whiskey Rain, the way it's crushing, man. Yeah, you'll pack the house. Fuck, you'll pack the house that night, especially on Tuesday and Wednesday. Those Those actually go hard at Grizzly Rose too. Those Tuesdays, those are like fucking random shows.
Man, country clubs, country people going out to country bars, they don't give a shit what day it is.
Amen.
No.
Tuesday, Wednesday, ladies' night, Thursday, send it. Friday, you send it. Get your Thursday. Now it's the weekend. Just got to keep going, you know. So it's just a vicious 7 day a week cycle, which thank God, because now we can come there on a Tuesday too.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Bring a concert on a Tuesday night.
Got some job security. You got some job security. Doing all right. Sure. Oh, cool, man. Well, it's good to catch up, man. Appreciate you coming on. Everybody go listen to Michael Ray, Whiskey Rain, and his new EP, second half of your EP coming out soon, guys. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, and go get higher education.
Yeah, appreciate it, man.
Behind the Rose is recorded live at the world famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. Be sure to go check out our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast and follow us so you always know when we drop a new episode. And give us all 5 of those stars. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time, Behind the Rose.